with the shades on, it's a throwback to how I started in ministry, which was outdoor preaching to the homeless. So the good news is the structures did not make me homeless just today. But, the wind did damage. But we are mindful of those who are without a home still in our community from the storm. Our text today, if you've got one of the bulletins, is on there. But we will be in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 15a. And let us pray to the Lord. Father God, we have come here this morning to hear from you. Please speak through your word. Amen. Our text today comes from the life of the prophet Elijah. Elijah lived at a time where it seemed like faith in God had been dying out. The world that he had once known and that he had felt safe and secure in was rapidly changing, and it had been becoming more and more devastated as people walked away from God. And so in our passage today, Elijah, in his desperation, runs to a mountain called Mount Horeb. And everybody actually here knows Mount Horeb, but they know it by a different name. It's also Mount Sinai. It's another way to say Mount Sinai. Elijah, this prophet of God, when he's angry at God, he goes to the sacred mountain for the ancient church. Not the hill of Calvary, the sacred mountain of Calvary that Christ makes holy. Because Christ had not yet come, but he goes to Sinai. And he goes to Sinai in order to argue with God and to complain to God and about what has been happening in Elijah's life. And with that, let us begin reading God's holy word, beginning in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. There he, Elijah, went into a cave on Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai, and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came. I met a man who thought he was going to die here this week. He was coming to retrieve his car that he had to abandon in our church parking lot. As the worst of the storm touched down upon him, he had driven down this road, and all of a sudden a tree fell down right before him, and so he quickly put his car in reverse and tried to drive that way. And then yet again another tree fell, and so he went into our parking lot as a refuge. And then he said, to the house. And I was at the Phillies game with the Kratz family. But he was banging on the door, and he said, all I got in response were your dogs barking at me. And so as the weather continued to get worse, he ran back into his car. And from that point, he could see the funnel cloud that was going over the grove. And he could see it just hopping around the pavilion. And he said, I thought I was dead. I thought your RV was going to be picked up and just smash me into pieces. And then he said, I couldn't believe it, because right when the cloud hit the parking lot, it jumped again. And it went over the parsonage. And then it landed back down. And you could hear it still 24 hours after the fact, still the fear in the man's voice, how scared he was. How utterly caught in fear he was about the power of this wind. For people describe it as it sounded like death itself coming. It was a sound of dread. Likewise, in this passage, Elijah is put face to face with the sheer power of elements of nature, the sheer power of God, of seeing elements of that can be expressed of God's fury of nature. And each element in this passage, we have the windstorm that breaks apart rock. We have an earthquake. We have fire from on high. And yet God is saying, and this passage is saying, God wasn't found in those things. It says God was not in the wind. God was not in the earthquake. God was not in the fire. But God was in the whisper. See, Elijah was learning that the best way to learn about God is not in elements of and the power of things of this world, but to hear the whisper of his word. And so this man that... So if we had been like this man on Wednesday and been here to see the sheer power of this wind tearing through the grove, that wouldn't be a better place to see the power of God than it is to be in front of his word and to hear from his word. Because that's where the real power of God is. God says, if you want to understand me at my word, not before the dramatic events that happen day by day in this world. For those who are God's, that's where real transformation is found. It is found in his word. And did you notice that when we read this passage, Elijah didn't cover up when he saw the wind. He didn't cover up when he saw the power of the earthquake or the fire. He wasn't shown to be scared in the passage, but even he and all his anger at this moment had to cover up when he heard the word of God. He did not panic inside the cleft of the mountain as he stood and saw nature go before him and the power of nature, but hearing a word from God caused him to see covered. Just a simple whisper. And Elijah, at first, he's angry when he responds back to God. But through this whisper of God's word in the moment, Elijah is eventually brought forth to change. Actually, God is very gracious to Elijah. While Elijah is complaining about seeing nothing change in his world, God tells Elijah, Elijah, your prophetic ministry has been sweet music to 5,000. That I'm also raising up a prophet after you, and I'm raising up a good king who will help restore some order. And so God lets Elijah know, even though you don't know what's going on in all these dramatic events, understand you need to go back and go to the work I called you to, because I'm working in you and I'm working through you. God has likewise brought us out here this morning to awe at his power, and a power far greater than the strongest winds, and that is in the power of his word. Can you hear? Have you heard a word from God, even if it's just a whisper? Can you hear God saying to us this morning, I love you. I'm going to be faithful to take care of you. And I will not abandon you. Because those promises and so much more are the kinds that we need to hear when we begin to regroup from both these present set of circumstances, but also the circumstances that we find all throughout our lives. The man who was trapped here during the storm, he eventually made his way out that way through the graveyard and found himself at a woman's house. He asked to stay there for a while as he regrouped. And she talked to me yesterday and told me her part of the story or her end of the story. And this person, this woman who let him in, she had her grandson with him. And the grandson saw that this man was obviously scared. And the grandson asked the man, who was obviously shaken, but come face to face with death the following. He said, "Do you know God?" The little boy wanted to know if the man believed in God. And really, in one sense, the grandson wanted to know if the man had heard a calming word of peace from God. Because God, in even a whisper, in one word, can give us true peace in the storms of life. A tornado cannot bring this church to the ground. The thing that can really bring this church to the ground is forgetting our first love, the Word of God. Forgetting to appreciate the still small voice of God. I'll be honest, I needed some convincing for us to hold this worship service here outside this Lord's Day this morning. I might have even fielded a few calls, right, Pat? About thinking it was crazy. Absolutely crazy and madness to do what we're doing right now. And I was sympathetic to the ear. I really was. At one point, I agreed with it. But the more and more I thought about it, I thought of there was no greater place to be this Lord's Day than to be here. Because we have been called to this church to live out our lives in a simple faith, to hear a word from God, and God's word provides us comfort here today. Provides us a way forward in the hardships that we'll have to face in the days and weeks and months to come. In this passage, God was not trying to tell Elijah, focus on the wind, the power of the wind, the earthquake, or the power of fire, but focus on my quiet words of grace and peace and mercy that you can discover in my word. All throughout this property, there's all these amazing sights. Behind that pavilion, there's a cluster of three trees, hickory oaks, that have been twisted off from the tops and ripped off. The spring house down there took a direct hit, that building of stone and metal, and it is still standing strong. 9 major structures on the church, and none of them, all of them still stand. And so God has been good to this historic church. But the greater display of God's sheer power is not found in ripped hickory trees or trees that fell throughout the property through the power of the wind. No, the great power of God is actually found in the gospel. The ultimate word of peace whispered here and whispered in churches all throughout the world this morning. And the gospel is this, that our God, who is infinitely stronger than oak, allowed himself to hang on a tree 2,000 years ago, not on Sinai, but on a hill of Calvary, and to be torn apart for our sake. And after he had died through a stormy judgment, they ripped him down from that tree. And they put him and planted him in a garden tomb. And you know why he allowed himself to undergo such suffering, such a storm, such a trial of judgment? Why did our God allow his body to be broken in such a way? It was for us. It was for our sake. It was so that he might rebuild in you and I, who need much more repairing than even the grounds of this church, that he might rebuild in us life in him. Jesus died on Calvary to begin changing us more into the people he desires us to be. A loving people, a selfless people, a people not prone to creating gossip and division, but a people overflowing with love and who have a desire to serve rather than be served. He allowed his body to be planted in a garden tomb, and from that garden tomb, 3 days later, new life came forth. A new body, a body that within it no longer held death, but it held life everlasting. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you believe his word when it says that he is our safe haven and our sanctuary, and he will be with us in this storm and the more to come throughout the rest of our lives. Amen.